Now notice, if you would please, there in verse 16, that Paul says, walk by the Spirit. And when you go to verse 18, he says, be led by the Spirit. Okay? So, this is instructive to us as Christians because he's already talked about at the beginning of chapter 5 that how we've been freed for freedom. Okay? But that liberty that we enjoy in Christ is not libertine. In other words, we don't have license to just do whatever we want to do because Jesus' blood covers over us. Okay? This is something different. When he talks about being freed for freedom, when he talks about liberty in Christ, it means that we have unfettered access to the presence of God in our life. Where previously you did not have the liberty to be identified as God's family or God's child. Does that make sense? You didn't, in other words, you didn't have access to God because you weren't free. You didn't have access to God because you didn't have that liberty to approach Him and call Him Father. Does that make sense? Right. And you've been shut up. That access was denied. Okay. But now, Paul says, the Holy Spirit says through Paul, that you've been freed for freedom and that we are to use our new liberty not to gratify the flesh, but to live for the purposes of God. So the whole message here is this is the working of God. The Spirit has brought about our salvation, our regeneration, okay, through the word of the gospel. The Spirit is now bearing fruit in our life through the Word. Okay? And we're talking about the activity of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And finally, the Spirit guides us by His Word. Okay, so we're saved through the power of the gospel, which is the Word of God. Romans chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, first to the Jew and then also to the Gentile. The Holy Spirit is active through the Word in our life by bearing fruit. And he guides us by His Word also. If you'll recall, last week we read in John chapter 15 where Jesus talks about what? I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, I remain in you. Now, what does he point out in John 15 about how is it that we remain in him, the vine? It's through the word, because he says, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in me. And every branch in me that produces fruit, my Father does what? He prunes it so that it does what? It bears more fruit. This is pleasing to God, he says there in John chapter 15. So this happens through the activity of the Holy Spirit by the Word, in connection with the Word of God. So how are we going to bear, how is fruit going to be borne out in our life, spiritual fruit? Through the daily partaking of God's Word. And then what? The exercise. In other words, faith. It's not faith just to read the words. It's biblical faith to read the words and then to do what? Do what it says. Follow it. Listen to it. Obey it. Okay? If you'll remember last week, not only think we got that far last time, did we? Well, we're fixing to read it, all right. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 4, Paul writes, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. But now we have been released from the law, having died to that by which we were bound, so that we serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. We are free then to follow the urgings of the Holy Spirit, even while Christ is at work covering our sins. Because under the oldness of the law, if you, at the first infraction of the law, what does that mean? You are separate from God. Okay? We are free now to serve God through the Holy Spirit, even while Jesus is our mediator before God. And that's precisely what John talks about in 1 John when he talks about walking in the light. Okay? And there is a direct connection between the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian, walking in the light of God's Word, and Jesus' mediation for us before God. Again, the Spirit bears fruit in our life through His Word. James chapter 1 and verse 19 and following. James chapter 1 and verse 19 and following. It's going to talk about the application of God's Word. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted. What's that language there mean? What does that call to your mind? We're talking about bearing fruit. We're talking about the Spirit bearing fruit through the Word of God. And the language that that James uses here, what does that call to your mind? Say again?
Farming.
So when we sow the Word of God into our hearts and minds, it's for the purposes of what? If you put seed in the ground, that's not the end game, right? If you put seed in the ground, the end game is what? Some type of yield, a harvest, okay? Listen carefully to what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. The end game is not just for you to read your Bible, as if it were something to check off your to-do list. Now, rightly so, you may feel discouraged when you think, well, I haven't been reading my Bible enough. And we all know how that feels. We all have those thoughts. We have, you know, I really need to read my Bible more. Yes, you do, but there's a reason for that. Okay? The end game is not just to read the Word, it's to read the Word and do what? To sow it. To plant it down deep. Okay? So that it takes root. And when this happens, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's indwelling inside of the life of the Christian begins to battle with the flesh. Okay? Receive the word implanted, James chapter 1 and verse 21, which is able to do what? The word of God has the power to do what? To save you. Again, Romans chapter 1, it's the power of God unto salvation. It's able to save your souls. Verse 22, and in this passage in James chapter 1 here, he's pointing out all the things we've been talking about. The Spirit saves us by the word of the gospel. The Spirit bears fruit by the word. And it is the guide, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the activity of the Holy Spirit, the guide. It guides us through His Word. Listen to what else He says here. Verse 22, but prove yourselves what? Doers of the Word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. We are talking about consuming the Word of God on a daily basis for the purposes of what? That spiritual fruit, the harvest of that spiritual fruit. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. And now what he's fixing to do is he's going to illustrate biblical faith right here. This is when the Word of God talks about faith, he's fixing to illustrate it right here. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Now, when he talks about being an effectual doer, it's not simply reading the Word and then doing something. It's doing those activities as prescribed by God. Now, I was wrong. I think we did read this last week, didn't we? Because we talked about what looking intently means. Okay? And it's the word that James uses there is actually a word for straining. You know, straining to see something. Okay? If I take my glasses off, I can see color just fine. But if I look down here at the book, I can't... I can't see it. I got to strain down here. I got to look down here and look at it, and I got to strain at it. Meaning, I have to really employ all of my strength to see what that says. Well, it's the same idea, but we're talking about acting spiritually. Okay? When we strain, when we work at it, when we commit ourselves to looking intently at what it says, not just reading it once, read it again. Pray about it. Wrestle with it a little bit. That's the activity of the Holy Spirit. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. And I can't help but think that this is precisely what Jesus means in Matthew chapter 7 when he says, enter by the narrow gate. You're not going to work to earn your salvation. But Jesus says there are few that find it. It's like going down the road or you may be driving down the pasture or something, and somebody says, well, you need to take that little well road that goes down here to get to that tank or whatever. But the mesquite trees have grown up real bad and you just shoot right past it and you drive by it 14 times and you never see the little opening until you slow down and you look intently and then you see that narrow path. That makes sense? That may be an oversimplification. But that's just the thought I had. Anybody else have any comments on that? All right, the Spirit guides us by His Word. Ed Horton in his book, Freed for Freedom studies in Galatians, writes that we must make a distinction between what the Spirit does and what we do. The Spirit personally indwells God's people, according to Galatians chapter 4 and Romans chapter 8. He intercedes for us when we pray, again from Romans chapter 8. He strengthens us in the inner man and will one day raise his own from the dead. This is what the Spirit does. Okay? But walking by the Spirit is what we do. In other words, that Spirit of God indwells us, but it's our choice to listen to its urgings. Apart from the revelation, this is what the Spirit does, but walking by the Spirit is what we do. Apart from the revelation of the Spirit's word, we know nothing of the gospel or of God's will for us in Christ. To walk by the Spirit is tantamount to walking in the light of His Word. We've talked about that before at length, 1 John chapter 1. Paul has already said that what we do by the Spirit, we do by faith. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 5. For we through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. And what we all know what the hope of righteousness is. It's eternal life. Okay? But we're waiting for that, right? And we have a hope for that. And because we have that hope, we live by faith. In other words, we're not just sitting around believing something. We are doing that, but that's not all of it. But because we believe that God is going to keep His promise, we are about bearing fruit in our life until that time comes. Does that make sense? Since faith comes by hearing the Word, what we do by the Spirit through faith, we do by His Word. The Spirit, the power of God is a gospel. We hear it, we believe it, we obey it. But it doesn't just end there. We continue to grow. We continue to mature. We continue to bear fruit because we now have God's presence in our life. That's the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, where formerly we didn't have that blessing. When Paul tells us to walk by the Spirit, he tells us to walk according to His teachings. Okay? And this has a component of the intellect involved. Okay? Christians today must be careful not to equate scriptures that speak of the indwelling of the Spirit with the Spirit's guidance. The indwelling Spirit guides us, to be sure, but we know that He indwells us, and what His directives are only by His Word. In other words, the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit is only going to speak and be active in accordance with the Word of God. Okay, does that make sense? And we are not to confuse, I really don't know what the word for it is. We are not to confuse something, our own thoughts that sound good to us, as the Spirit's urgings, because the Spirit only speaks by the Word of God. God tells us that there is more than our own obedience working in our behalf. Let me read that again. God tells us that there is more than our own obedience working in our behalf. What that means is the intercession of the Holy Spirit, the mediation of Jesus Christ, all of these things are at work. He intercedes for us during prayer. Okay, what did Paul say in the Roman letter? That the Spirit does what? When we don't know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit does what? He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Okay? But we have no authority to substitute the objective Word of God with some spiritual existentialism as a revelation from the Spirit. That's a mouthful. Okay? It's not emotionalism, in other words. We have a precise teaching from God. And sometimes, listen to what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. Sometimes we can read the Word of God and it may actually run counter to what you're feeling emotionally. Does that make sense? Now, our emotions come from God. They're part of our they're part of our existence. But sometimes God wants to penetrate our emotions through His Word. Now here's the struggle. Sometimes we are more inclined to follow the dictates of our emotions when God is telling us to look beyond our emotions and believe what He's telling us. Would you agree with that? Because sometimes our emotions really scream, don't they? In our minds, in our hearts. And they're urging us to be reactionary. But the voice of God speaking His Word sometimes runs counter to those and is urging us to believe what He says, even over and above our emotions sometimes. And that's a struggle, isn't it? But that's the reason that we have the whole Word of God, is because He wants us to believe Him. And when we start more consistently making the choice to believe God, even above our own feelings, something very powerful in our life is going to happen, isn't it? Okay. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, passage of Scripture that's familiar to all of us, but perhaps we haven't thought of it in this light before. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, we're going to read the passage and then I'll welcome any of your thoughts on it. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. We've been talking about the activity of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Believing God's Word above all else, even our own feelings and emotions. Okay. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourself? That Jesus Christ is where? He's in you, unless indeed you fail the test. Now how is Jesus going to indwell you? The Holy Spirit, and He's going to be active in our lives through the teaching of His Word. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. I have written to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God does what? It abides in you. Now what is the word? Man, abide means to take up residence and to live there. Okay? The Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. As for you, let abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. Don't kick it out, okay? Don't evict it. Remember that you do have control over what comes into your mind and heart and what you evict. You're like the landlord of your inner man. Okay? And what John, what the Apostle John is here saying is, make sure, no matter what else happens, that the Word of God continues to abide in you. As for that, as for you, let that abide in you, which heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also will abide in the Son and in the Father. That was verse 24. Now, there is ultimately probably the greatest blessing of God's indwelling Spirit in our lives during our time here on earth. And that is the peace of God. Okay? The peace of God. What did Paul write? That be anxious about nothing, but in everything pray and make your request known to God, and then what will happen? The peace which surpasses all understanding, and God will guard our hearts. Okay? When the Spirit guides us by His Word, there are more blessings that God has intended for us. And if we are not being guided by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, we're missing out on some of those blessings. Not the least of which is the peace of God. God would have you be at peace. Does that make sense? It is not God's intention for you to have inner turmoil. We do, but it's of our own design and our own making. But God's intent is that you have peace. And the bell's fixing to ring. I want to talk about this, the peace in our lives through the Holy Spirit, but I think maybe we'll wait till next week. Does anybody have any final comments or anything?